style condominiums, and facing the Leela Avenue will be medium-density, multi-story residential condominiums that will front on to the church property and the multifamily that the committee approved, multifamily and commercial mixed use that the committee approved in September's meeting. I'm just going to run through the presentation for you. This application came about as a consequence of a three-way land exchange between the Seven Oaks School Division, my clients, and Genstar Corporation. The school division acquired land adjacent to the Leela North School site some 25 years ago with the idea of building a campus with a K-8 school and a high school. But given the nature of the development in Amber Trails, which sees a lot of young families, there's a lot of demand for K-8 school spaces. The current school at Leela North is packed beyond the rafters. When we held our public information meeting there, I know one of the classrooms we used, we couldn't see the teacher's desk because it was behind so many books, etc. So we appreciate why the school division was looking for another K-8 school site to service the Amber Trail location rather than building the second K-8 grade site adjacent to the existing one. It seemed more practical from Seven Oaks' perspective to find a site on Templeton Avenue, which is the location that I've displayed on the plan. And so as a consequence of that, Genstar owned that site. My clients owned the site to the west there that shows the number on it, and there was a three-way land exchange. So the high school is not going to be built at this site. Existing high schools within the area are adequate to accommodate those needs. Next slides. So what we are looking at in terms of the project here is the Amber Trail area is approximately 20 years old now. Mandalay West, some 30 years old. Maple's older than that. We have a evolving population that we are not looking at single-family residential development. We're looking at a development will serve empty nesters. A lot of families have been raised, grown up in the area, and what we're trying to do is provide a type of housing that will meet the needs of empty nesters. So the housing that we've designed is both the bungalow-style condominium, which will be around 1,000 to 1,200 square feet, similarly for the apartment-style condominium, and it's focused upon the needs of those individuals who no longer have kids at home but want to stay in their neighborhood. And that is the direction that this project has been designed and will be marketed on. Next slide. This was the original plan that was prepared by the project architects, and I just want to point out that you can see that there is the multi-story medium-density condominium was facing the sports field, which meant that its end was facing onto the existing single-family residential lots that front onto Amber Trail to the north, and the bungalow condominiums were on the west side of the site facing Alonzo Street. We ran a number of shadow studies of this, and Richard is just going to run through them. This is the summer study, or summer and fall and spring shadow studies, showing basically the shadows that would be created at 5 o'clock. And in the wintertime, sun's almost down at 4:30, so the shadows extend even for the bungalows across onto the single-family site. What we found, we weren't happy with the layout. In our first meeting, it was clear that residents wanted to look at a transition between the higher-story multifamily, which fronts on Leela Avenue, and the single family. So we reoriented the site so that the bungalows are located on the northern portion and the western portion of the site adjacent to the single family that fronts on Amber Trail and sides on Alonzo Street and fronts on Basil Street. And we've placed the multifamily, which is a stepped three-story, five-story, six-story building, fronting Leela Avenue. It is opposite where the church is and opposite the mixed-use commercial residential multifamily development that's approved on the south side of Leela Avenue. This plan is more acceptable to the community, and that is why we made the request to defer the past public hearing and resubmitted the plan for this hearing. Next slide. There's a series of, again, shadow studies that we've done in terms of the impact of the development in terms of shadows cast in the wintertime. This is 9 o'clock in December, noon at December, and again at 4 o'clock in December. With the exception of the 4 o'clock shadow, no shadows extend beyond the site, but even single-family shadows within the site and adjoining the residential area will extend across the street at 4 o'clock because the sun is gone at 4:30 on December 21st. This is March at 9 o'clock. You can see the shadows are all contained within the site. At 12 o'clock, the shadows are all contained in the site. And at 4 o'clock, which in March and September, the apartment shadow slightly casts into the sports field area for the Seven Oaks School Division, but not into the soccer pitch. So nobody has an excuse for missing a goal or getting a goal. And this is June in the morning of 9 a.m. Again, no shadows whatsoever. Summertime, June, 12 and 4 o'clock, all the shadows are contained within the site. This is the community context in terms of the development. We show the new lots that are going to be created on the south side of Amber Trail. They're toned in gray within the red line, and there's 11 lots there. Approximately half of those lots will be owned by Genstar, half be owned by our clients. We'll be applying the same design guidelines that Genstar applies in Amber Trails, which is important to the community as part of our consultations. And the same type of housing will occur there as single-family housing that is developed adjoining it. Opposite the site on the south side of Amber Trails, we have a six-story multifamily, medium-density multifamily development or building approved on the south side, and then moving towards the center of that site on the east side of Mandalay Extension is a three-story building, and on the west side of Mandalay Extension is a six-story building, and then R1 small density residential backing on the existing residential development on the south side of that site approved by the community committee in September. Next slide. Oh, this slide, maybe just go back. This slide also shows the reorientation of the soccer pitch. There's a joint use agreement between the city and the Parks Department between the school division and the Parks Department, and part of this project agreement between the school division and my clients is that the soccer pitch will be reoriented within the site into a northwest portion. So that means there's going to be discussions and with Donna Beaton's assistance, there's been discussions with the superintendent and the secretary treasurer of the school division and the city in terms of the joint use and the adjustments to the site. These are some perspectives of the site. This is Amber Trails looking south. So you see, unfortunately, we didn't put any buildings on the lots, the single family lots, but you'll see the condominium, and the purpose of this slide is to show the transition between the bungalow condominium, low-level condominium, and the multifamily, and how the multifamily building is stepped up in three steps from a three-story to a six-story at the corner, at the center portion of it, immediately joining Leela Avenue. And the portions of the building that step down into the bungalow condominium are three stories, one story greater than a standard residential house. This is a same view or similar or a view looking to the east from Alonzo Street, again showing the bungalow condominiums and the site. I know I'm running out of time, and I want to get to some of the conditions of approval, so I wonder, Richard, if we can. Here's a sample of the project my clients were involved in. This is Aspen Meadows. This is the kind of quality that we're looking at for the multifamily development. It will be different design, but just to create a different character. And we have a photograph of a bungalow condominium that my clients have just finished. It's just in the final stages, so not all the landscaping components have been completed. But this is Templeton Point. Next slide. Is that it? Okay, that's good. Thanks. In regards to the administration's report, we don't have a significant amount of comments with regards to requests, but we have three that we'd like to share with the committee. One, there's a requirement, a recommendation in the administration's report that we provide an east-west sidewalk easement between Alonzo Street and the east limit of our site, which is a, which is the, maybe we can bring up the site plan. Oh, that's good, if you go back.
There's a request that we bring a sidewalk, actually it's probably easier to do.
Using the mouse. a sidewalk easement from Basil Street through the site. Our concern with this is that what we understand from the residents within the area, they don't favor the idea of having the traffic go through the condominium site to Basil Street to the school grounds. They prefer that the sidewalk on Leela Avenue be used as the means for movement, pedestrian movement by the site. From our client's perspective, in terms of the condominium corporation, having an easement within the site poses some problems in terms of liability of the condo corporation for the public use of the sidewalk. And the only way that that could be resolved really is through an indemnity by the city of Winnipeg, so that if there's any accident by the public using the private property to cross the site, that they're my clients, which will eventually be the condominium owners, condominium corporation, are indemnified against any insurance claims for accidents. We think that that is going to be a problem to administer, and that's one of the reasons that our clients have reconsidered this. The other concern is that the public use of the sidewalk easement will pose security issues and oversight and policing challenges within the condo corporation. It's a public easement. Public has the right there. But what happens in the event that an inappropriate activity is taking place, it's on private property, police are not going to be driving in the private property unless there's a complaint, so it's not something that they drive by in the street to see what's happening. So that is a concern to our client group. We also feel that the idea of having a sidewalk through here as a easement, public easement, is going to create some perceived safety concerns in terms of the condo seniors' residents and the potential for land use conflicts between the residents and those people that are outside of the area. So on that basis, we would respectfully ask that the clauses under the planner's report 2A, sub 4 to 8, page 2, be deleted, requiring the provision of a public easement sidewalk. And similarly, under the ACG report Schedule B, clause 3B, page 24, be deleted, which requires as part, and only in part, that part of it be deleted that provides for the provision and maintenance of a public available east-west pathway. In regards to the ACG report, clause 4, page 25, this clause provides for the, we weren't clear on it, but the clause provides for the service stubs for the sewer and water to be cut off and abandoned at the developer's expense. And our project engineer has indicated that we may want to use those stubs for the sewer and water to service the bungalow condominium. So what we would like to suggest is that, and because under the ACG report, we're paying for those services as well as street improvements in Alonzo Street, we would like this clause to state that in the event that the services are not used, the sewer and water services are not used to service the condominium, that then they be stubbed and closed off at the cost and responsibility of the developer. The last clause that I'd like to address, and I know there's going to be some discussion on this because we had a brief opportunity to discuss this with Mr. Rabin, relates to clause 14 in the ACG report. This clause provides for contributions towards the cost of boundary streets, channelization, and signalization in the area surrounding the Amber Trail site. This is Leela Boulevard, Pipeline Road, and Chief Peguis Trail. And under the development agreement with Genstar and the city, Genstar has some obligations in this regard. So the purpose of this clause is to collect funds from our client to reimburse through the city, GenStar, these obligations, which we have no issue with. We were contacted by GenStar in regards to this, and instead of Clause 14, they have suggested that they would prefer that Clause 14 be deleted and Clause 16 be amended, whereby Leela Avenue surface works be added to the surface works obligations that we would have under the development agreement as proposed by the administration, which includes Amber Trail and Alonzo Street surface works. GenStar has suggested that we add Leela Avenue to that surface works, which we would be responsible to be paying for our frontage, and delete Clause 14. They feel that the funds that would be obtained from our project would be comparable to the funds that would be obtained from Clause 14. We have told both parties, you decide. Clause 14 stays in, leave Clause 16 the way it is. If you want Clause 14 to come out, add to Clause 16, Amber Trail. So I think that maybe GenStar may make some representation on it, and Kim Raven may have some suggestions on it, and I know I have an opportunity to come back to make any comment there. So we will be accommodating whichever way it seems to make practical sense, and that's equitable and fair to my clients and to GenStar and the city. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Paliubeski. We have some questions. Councillor Sharma.
Mr. Paliubeski, clause number 16, the last one you spoke about, would you be paying on an area basis or a frontage basis?
If clause 16 is payment on a frontage basis. Clause 14, instead of us having an obligation to pay the frontage cost on Leela Avenue, says Leela Avenue is one of several streets that's included in an area charge, pay it on an area charge. So we would be contributing towards Leela, Pipeline, and the other streets that are identified in the city's agreement with GenStar. Right. So I know, what I understand from the numbers, they're very close either way, mm-hmm. in terms of how much GenStar is going to get paid. And how you want to charge my clients, again, as I said, as long as it's fair to my clients, you could do it on an area charge or you will pay it on a frontage charge. Mm-hmm. We just don't want to pay both.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Can we go back to the slide that shows the path clearly that you have in your development?
Sorry, which?
There, that slide there, yeah.
Okay. The shadow study?
No, the path. Are you going to, this slide right here, are you going to keep that path in your development?
We may keep a portion of the path. I mean, we don't want to isolate the seniors' condominium from the trail system. Part of the report and obligation that we've agreed to is that we're going to put a sidewalk connection from Basil Street where it ends at Alonzo down to Leela Avenue sidewalk, and we're going to build the sidewalk, if I might just...
We'll accept the obligation of building the sidewalk from this location to, again, the sidewalk on Leela Avenue.
I know the administration wanted the sidewalk to go
initially, I guess years ago when they assumed this would be a school site, there was an assumption that there would be a walkway coming through midway here,
mm-hmm. Probably across the school boundaries. But with the elimination of the school and the sensitivities of the private single-family residents to a pathway there, that's not something that's supported by anybody, unfortunately. But we still would want to keep a connection from the condo site, obviously, to the trail network, because these people want to be part of the neighborhood and the community.
Sure.
And informally, if there's no problem with public access, I don't think that realistically the condo corporation would have concerns, but if there is a problem, they may want to gate the access to the condo site.
And if you gated it, how would that work? How would folks get in and out?
Well, that would be a complication because it would mean there would have to be some kind of a fob or a card to enter and exit. It's something in my, as a planner, I don't try to encourage, mm-hmm. but, you know, again, it's all about how people use the opportunities they're given, and if right. everybody behaves reasonably, things work, and if some people, but mm-hmm. you know, I appreciate people always look at it, well, what happens if the worst happens? So,
because with a pass card, how would that work with an 8-year-old trying to go play in one of the parks in the area.
I don't think it would work that well. The project is being designed and marketed for non-families. It's basically couples or people that have no kids at home. So even the design of the units is not necessarily a family. It's not necessarily a family-oriented project where there'd be kids involved in it. So that would mean a complete reconsideration of our marketing strategy. And
What is your price point for your condos?
Well, we're looking probably at a price range of around $230,000 for the condominium, bungalow condominiums, and slightly less for the multifamily apartments and condos. We want to price it so that somebody living in the area that has a house can sell the house, purchase the condominium, and put their equity in the bank for future retirement purposes, and that they have an opportunity to stay in the neighborhood. And that's fairly consistent with the price point at Aspen Meadows and very consistent with the price point that is in Templeton Point. Sorry.
Would the path remain then as we see it there? I see it in three pieces.
I think the path would certainly remain for as we've outlined here, you know, that's something that at this point in time we're not planning to do.
Okay. How do you propose, Mr. Pelubeski? There may be, you know, there could be small children in the development, seniors in a wheelchair. How are they going to get from the apartment to enjoy the man-made lakes in the area and other amenities?
One of the things that we will do is that all of our sidewalks and all of our pathways will be paved within the site, but all of our sidewalks and transition from units from the apartment condo will be designed from the point of view of universal access standards that the City of Winnipeg has adopted, and that we will incorporate that within our design program.
Where are the sidewalks? What is the difference between a sidewalk and a path?
The pathway that you see here, this pathway, 5 meters in width, and the sidewalk on Leela Avenue, and the sidewalk access into the site here, and I think that my colleague has given you a copy of the report. At the back of the report, you'll see this plan, and it'll have the sidewalks on it. The sidewalks are concrete, not asphalt, and they will be 5 feet in width, which is the city standard width for a concrete sidewalk. And that sidewalk will be connecting to the building, to the multifamily building from Leela Avenue sidewalk. What's not shown in the plan that's attached to my report is the city's proposal for a sidewalk as a developer obligation from Basil Street pavement to the sidewalk on Leela Avenue.
So if someone was in a wheelchair in the apartment complex and they were trying to get to Basel, how would they get there?
Well, right at this point in time, they would come down the sidewalk that goes to the entrance to the apartment here. This is a shadow study, so it's not the right plan. It's not shown on here at all. And they would come along the apartment, down the sidewalk towards the west end of the building to the sidewalk on Leela Avenue.
So they would be traveling through the parking lot then until they got to the sidewalk?
No, there's a sidewalk. If you go to this plan here,
okay,
this
I
is
don't
a very.
Have that?
My colleague is going to give you a copy of the plan. I guess there wasn't enough. Could you point out the sidewalks?
Okay, so there is a sidewalk.
Yeah. And then we're going to be obliged to create a sidewalk from that side to here.
Okay, Councilor Eadie.
Just a general question, Mr. Paliubeski. Lindenwoods has public sidewalks through their areas, and I'm just interested in how the conclusion that that's going to be a safety liability issue, having a path, the path that you wanted to have removed. I'm just kind of curious, what experience base would you come from to sort of come up with the idea of all these liability issues?
The liability is more or less related to a sidewalk that is an easement maintained where the sidewalk is constructed and maintained by the condo corporation. The public has access to it.
So with the safety issue that you raised, are there safety issues in Linden Woods with their pathways? Or?
Their pathways are all public pathways maintained by the city and with oversight and security provided by the city. But because this is on private lands where the public has, under the administration's proposal, the right to of access and use, the obligations for maintenance are the Condos Corporation, the obligations for security and oversight of the Condos Corporation, and liability for the public's use of the pathway are the Condos Corporation. So those are the concerns that we had. And I don't want to put that kind of an obligation from a practical point of view on a condo corporation to administer in the future, because I think it's going to be fraught with problems, and it'll be a headache for the city, in my opinion, administration and council to sort of deal with these problems.
Did you meet with the parks folks at one point and suggest that the path go through the development? I'm just a little confused because I had other information, you know, a few weeks ago, and now the presentation is stating something different.
I did meet with the Parks Department, and the Parks Department, as I mentioned, was looking for a pathway between the development site and the single-family lots. And I knew from the perspective of our partners in this, GenStar and our clients, that would not be something that would be acceptable. So I did propose for consideration that what we could look at is a pathway through the site, and we did have that part of the project. We met and had feedback from the residents that was not supportive of that. And when we started looking at the details, okay, how is this going to be done? Because one of the conditions that the Parks Department identified for us is that prior to the release of the plans for registration, that we would have to agree to an easement agreement with the city for the maintenance and responsibility for this pathway. I do not, from experience, want to put my clients in a situation where we have to negotiate an easement agreement, and all of the terms of that agreement, if they're not disclosed at the public hearing, create obligations or responsibilities for my client on liability, security, oversight, and maintenance of a public pathway on private property. So after consideration and presenting the issues to the Parks Department and saying, you know, we need to understand this, and presenting it to my clients from their concern from a safety and a policing perspective, my clients felt that for the condo corporation to take on these obligations is very unusual, and there's no direction that we had been provided by the city in how the condo corporation would be indemnified against lawsuits for public use of private property, how policing or inappropriate behavior would be addressed by security or police services within the city, within the land. My preference would have been if we had this as an easement agreement, that there be a clause within the easement agreement that if it becomes unfunctional and it becomes a maintenance risk or a liability risk, that the condo corporation has the ability to terminate the agreement. That wasn't acceptable to Parks Department, and as a consequence, I just can't see practically how I could make this work in the future. It's you know, I understand the rationale and reasoning. The other point I would make that you know, the sidewalk on Leela Avenue is 110 feet south of this proposed sidewalk. There is nothing that, even though this will be a fenced community, it's not going to be gated and secured, so there's nothing that prohibits the public from getting access to it. But if they do, they come on their own volition, and there will be insurance by the condo corporation. But if we take on and say, here's a pathway, we're maintaining it, somebody slips and falls, injures themselves, then we have a big complaint, well, you didn't maintain it to city standards, and whatever those standards would be, and the condo corporation has that liability. I know the city is self-insured and for your sidewalks and pathways, but mm-hmm. the condo corporation doesn't enjoy that same kind of security.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I think the Parks Department also had some concerns around connectivity. For Donna, for Leela?
Yeah, I guess our number one concern, or all that we were really trying to achieve, was some way to link the parks that are on the west end of the development to this larger, one of the only other larger open spaces. And given that the whole concept of Amber Trails is the linear corridors and connectivity, or linear corridors and connected paths, we had wanted to see some recognition of that through the development. Initially, we had talked about doing a public reserve corridor, not just a public path on private property, but it was, from my perspective, what I understood was it was starting to compromise the developer's ability to get the build-out that they needed on this. It's a slightly awkward configuration. So they had proposed the path through their development, which we were amenable to. It wasn't our ideal, because it's never as easy to have a public path on private land. But I guess our proposal back would be then, if you can't facilitate the path in the nature that you'd originally proposed it, what other alternative to maintain that linear beltway that Amber Trails is known for?
Well, Amber Trails has a lineal beltway, but I think one of the things I'd like you to be aware of is that we're putting higher density development on the south side of Leela Avenue. And by directing your beltway through this little site, which is 7 acres, to Basil Street, there is no sidewalks on Basil, and Basil ends at the city's waste disposal site, which hopefully in the future it will be rehabilitated for park purposes. But I think more importantly, what we've agreed to do is to build that pathway connection from the Amber Trails Park on the northwest or northeast side of the site down to Leela Avenue, and that connects into the sidewalk on Leela Avenue and also connects in and creates connectivity to the multifamily. We have in multifamily units here, I'm not certain how many units, there's a few of them, but it looks like there's well over 300 multifamily units approved on the south side of Leela Avenue. So it creates that connectivity. And from Basil Street or the city's park, if the city does its improvement in its landfill site and converts it to a park, the sidewalk on Amber Trail extends there, and the sidewalk on Leela Avenue will extend there. So it connects to that park on the north and the south side of it. So I think that's a significant connectivity in the community.
I guess our concern was that sidewalks aren't intended for bicycle use, and this is a heavily used bike. The whole purpose of a multi-use path is for bicycle use. So ideally we'd have, and what we've been doing in other AT areas, is a sidewalk for pedestrians and a multi-use path paralleling it. So that might be another option.
Isn't the city, in terms of your new active transportation considerations, looking at bike paths associated with streets? I mean, you're doing that now. And it would seem to me, because Leela Avenue is intended to be a four-lane divided medium street, that as that street is developed, as this area is developed out, you will be having your bicycle paths incorporated with it as part of that street's design and development.
Mr. Pellegrini, I have a question for you. In your delegation, you mentioned with the Condo Corp and with this path coming through the development that there's significant liabilities of the Condominium Corporation. Our administration just now talked about perhaps the option of creating a public reserve through the path that you've delineated through your development. Would you be amenable to that notion of creating a public reserve through the development?
So that the pathway that's illustrated here, the 1.5-meter pathway, would be a public reserve, and the city would have the obligation for maintenance?
Correct.
And the issue with that would be it would change your
buildable, your footprint of your property, so.
If it doesn't change the buildable footprint of the property, we'd have no concern. If it does, we would have a concern. If it's limited to the 1.5-meter pathway, the sidewalk, and it's not an area greater than that, then we wouldn't have a concern.
We'd have to go wider than that to be consistent with how we've been doing other pathway corridors.
Then I would say that we would have a concern, and I would argue that it's unnecessary, given that you have sidewalks and pathway sidewalks on Amber Trail, sidewalk on Leela Avenue. Ultimately, these are going to connect to a city's park that is currently a closed waste disposal site, the north and the south end of it. By having a sidewalk or a pathway go through to Basel, you're going to be on Basel. There's no sidewalks on Basel. You're going to be on a street going to the park. It would seem to me that the accessibility of the park is better served by the sidewalk on Leela Avenue and Amber Trail, which already exists, as opposed to putting a sidewalk through the site, which goes nowhere, except empties out onto a street.
Yeah, Councillor Sharma, question?
In my view, I don't think the pathway is really for cyclists. I think it's more for pedestrians. Like, if I was on a bike, I wouldn't go through this development. I would, like you say, go on, Leela or Alonza. So I think it's more for pedestrian traffic, in my view. And the kids, don't you feel that going to Leela North School, they're going to be cutting through there anyways?
They may be, but if the 1.5-meter sidewalk is a public sidewalk, and you have the liability to maintain it, I don't think that we would have a concern.
Mm-hmm. Could we go back to that slide? Do you have a slide that shows that?
So this is a slide showing a perspective when we had included the sidewalk in. It comes out to the South Boulevard of Basel Street and goes through the site. Because of the connectivity of the condo units, there would likely have to be who may be from the local community making representations. I know there's a concern on Basel Street and that they may not be supportive of this, but if it's the wish of the community committee, we could accommodate that if it's a public walkway, that 1.5 meters.
Probably, thank you very much. I'll ask you to stand down. You'll have an opportunity to come back and rebut once others have spoken.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll go through the folks here who've registered in support. If you wish to speak, you're welcome to come down. If not, just say you're here for support. Mr. Jerry Klein, you wish to speak? You wish to speak? Okay, come on down.
My name is Jerry Klein. I'm here representing Genstar Development Company. Genstar, as you already know, is the main developer of Amber Trails. As the applicant, Mr. Palubeski, has stated, we have been in close contact with them in terms of, I wouldn't say collaborating, but understanding what their proposal is all about. We fully support their application. We think it is integrating with the rest of the community. It is allowing us to collaborate on the frontage on Amber Trail to complete that frontage for single-family homes to be consistent with what's been established there already. We also are sensitive to the needs for higher density and multifamily uses within Amber Trails, and I think that will be a complementary use as well. So in terms of our support, I confirm that we do support their application, and hopefully that council will approve it, or the committee will approve it. We do have some requests or some issues, if you will, with the ACG report. And what we are proposing and asking, I've had a brief discussion with Kim Raban, but we are looking for a slight departure from what has been happening consistently over the years since we started Amber Trails. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, when we first started Amber Trails back in 1988, we were required and continue to be required to finance and construct two lanes of pavement on Leela and Pipeline up to the future Chief Pegwas Trail, including intersection improvements at Leela and Pipeline Road. Now, the argument or the reason for that was that GenStar's development or the Amber Trails development will be adding traffic flow and generating traffic flow to these regional streets. Just again, giving you a little bit of history. Prior to 1988, Leela and Pipeline Road were completely undeveloped streets, and the wisdom of the community committees at that time, or even I guess it would be the cities of Old Kildonan and West Kildonan, allowed development to occur on Leela and Pipeline Road without having any obligations for the developers or the landowners to ever pay for any improvements on Leela. So when we agreed to undertake these external services, it was always with the understanding, maybe it wasn't written, but it was always with the understanding that the city had a good argument saying, GenStar, there are certain frontages on Leela and Pipeline that have developed, and we have no possible way of being able to collect from those developments that have occurred already. So GenStar acknowledged that, all right, where there is no feasible method for the city to be able to collect from prior development, we would have to bear that cost. Wherever there was an opportunity from new development occurring, however, it was always understood by GenStar that those costs would be levied against those private developers and in return paid back to GenStar on a fair and equitable basis. Throughout all the history or all the period of development since 1988, there was a clause in the development agreement, Clause 14, which has been consistent throughout all our development agreements and throughout the development, where we've established a payback mechanism that the city would collect for those costs that GenStar is incurring for Leela and Pipeline Road and the other related costs, servicing costs, and collect on an area basis and pay GenStar back. So, for example, and there hasn't been any recent examples because GenStar has been primarily developing all the land, but where there are some instances within Amber Trails that do not front onto Leela or Pipeline Road, they should still bear their fair share of the improvements of that GenStar is installing for Leela and Pipeline Road and pay their fair share on an area basis. And in normal circumstances, there's a good argument and a good case to be made that this particular application should fall under that umbrella. And I think the way that the administration has the ACG report and recommendation, that is exactly what they're recommending. However, I am looking at this from a different perspective because we're financing this and building it, and I'm asking for consideration for a departure from that methodology of collecting a payback for GenStar. Again, I look at this application, and again, we're fully supportive of it, but in this particular situation, the applicant has all of their access coming in to the development through Leela Avenue. They are actually deriving their main benefit out of the frontage that has been installed by GenStar through Leela Avenue. And I'm thinking that as an alternative to the area charge, it might be more appropriate to have the fair share for this development to pay on a frontage basis of Leela as opposed to the area charge in paragraph 14. Now, again, Amber Trails has been an anomaly to many other developments in the city of Winnipeg for the history and the reasons that I've previously described about having other landowners and other developments either having prior development or not. So what I'm recommending, which I think is a fair assessment of the benefit of Leela Avenue, is to have Clause 14 deleted and have it replaced with, if you will, an amendment to Clause 16, whereby it says that the developer shall pay its share of the cost of surface works previously installed by others. I'd like to add in Leela and in Amber Trail and Alonza, abutting the planned area, if applicable, as determined by the Director of Public Works, but calculated on a frontage basis. I'll admit that the cost is slightly more than the allocation that would have occurred on a area basis, but I think it's still, because of the orientation of the development, I think it's fair for both parties. Now, had the developer or the applicant had all of its orientation and access to its development through Amber Trail to the north or Alonza on the west and had no frontage access onto Leela Avenue, I would have no case, I would say, and that they should be paying on a area basis, as has been the methodology throughout the history of Amber Trails. So I'm just asking for consideration for an amendment to have a rethink on that calculation for this particular application because of what I've described as the specific benefit that is being derived by the applicant with their access points totally oriented and using Leela Avenue. Also in the ACG report, there is a clause 3. I just wanted to confirm that clause will as well calculate the recoveries on a frontage basis. Other than that, I have no real other comments. It may not be my place to talk about the sidewalk issue going through the development, but for what it's worth, I don't mind expressing opinion. You can take it for whatever you think. In a perfect world, you might be able to achieve that. I think that the requirement to have the condo corporation be liable and responsible for public use that they have no control of, I think it's an onerous one. I've never seen it anywhere. Yes, it would have been nice to have this pathway come through, but I think the applicant has expressed the alternatives, and I just think that in all truth, it would be onerous to have them responsible for a public road or public pathway or sidewalk, as you call it, through their development. But that's really not my argument, just my opinion.
Looks like Dave Bowles. Okay. Jaspal Singh Sandhu, here for support. Okay. Nishan Varach, here for support. Mohinder Mohal, support. Okay. Is there anyone else here who's I haven't called who'd like to speak in support or register in support? Okay. I'll now move on to those registered in opposition. First up, we have Flaviano Atpalza. Do you wish? Okay, you're just here to register in opposition. Okay. Maria Cristina Agpalza? In opposition? Okay. Is it Francis?
Yeah.
Okay. You're here in opposition? Do you wish to speak or just?
We would like to speak.
Okay. Have you filled one of these? Have you filled one of these out?
Yes, for information.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll call you next. Don't worry. Yeah.
Oh, wait. Can we go down together, though? Or no?
Well, he's registered for information.
Well.
I'll change it to opposition?
Yeah, for
information. Okay. Come on down.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Prashant Chelikani, and we live on 4 Basel. That's towards the extreme next to the Olanzo Street.
Okay.
So we had a community meeting a few weeks back, and members were like, people on Basel were against the sidewalk. It does raise a few security concerns, but because right now we have people parking on Olanzo. We don't know who is parking on Olanzo. And this is an overnight parking. They leave their vehicle and they go. And once we have this condo development, we might have people who park on Olanzo and use this sidewalk to actually do the parking and go somewhere. And the other thing is, as the developer pointed out, we don't have sidewalks on Basel. So if this is going to be a sidewalk, it does empty onto a road. It does lead to a road where there is no sidewalk at all. So unless the city wants to build sidewalks on Basel, I don't think it is a sensible option for the city too. And we did have a meeting, as I said, and where we are against having a sidewalk that opens onto Basel. And as the developers pointed out, people can access through Lila. And as regards to people, we do have kids, a lot of kids on Basel. And the way we access is through amber trails. So we don't see going through this condo development to access or to go to the grounds, football grounds.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Francis Alcaraz. I live at the 38 Amber Trail. So my house will be directly affected by the empty lots that will be, you know, that will be built by GenStar. Like what my neighbor was saying, we are concerned about the sidewalk that we built there. So we are in, you know, we've been communicated with the builder about our concern. The only thing that we wanted to make sure is we have to ensure that with the builder, they have to follow whatever structures, guidelines that the houses are built within Amber Trail. And like I said, we've actively communicated with them, and all our question has been answered. So I guess the concern that we just wanted to relay was the sidewalk. And we want to make sure that those are not in any way connected to Amberger. Thank you.
All right, any questions for the delegation? I have a question for you folks, and either one of you can answer it. So from what I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like you're opposed to the development, the proposed subdivision rezoning. Your issue is mainly with the sidewalk in that rezoning.
After having communicated with Lumber North, pretty much all our concern was answered in behalf of the actual development. So provided that they're going to, you know, pull through what they stated on the emails and all the questions that we have, we are not against with the actual development.
Okay, thank you very much. Councillor Eady.
So I want to I just want to get clarification. So if there was a publicly taken care of pathway that goes through the middle, is that the one that you, is that the pathway you're concerned about?
Yes.
And you'd be against that kind of access for,
yes,
for general pedestrians to get through the community?
Yes, we want it to be like a fenced community. Whatever they're developing, we want it to have a fenced system without any connection onto Basel, because Basel is a very small street. It's a very small community. We don't want people going through this.
Another question, because it just popped into my mind. Throughout Amber Trails, there are many walking paths, right? You know, by Thorn Drive and all that area there. And, you know, they go behind people's backyards and on around the lakes and everything. And you mentioned that you mentioned, Sir Mr. Chalakana, you mentioned about a fenced community, which right away I hear gated community. No, but I'm just saying it talks about there's no connectivity to that particular development to the rest of the area. And this is beside a school site and a public reserve. Mm-hmm. So I'm just wanting to get inside your mind and find out exactly, other than the fact that Basel doesn't have any sidewalks, are you not in favor of keeping the theme of public access through the neighborhood?
Public access is fine as long as we have sort of the same, like say, coming to the sidewalk thing. If there is no sidewalk on Basel, what does it lead into? I mean, there should be connectivity, right? If you have a sidewalk planned, it should be leading on to another sidewalk. And if a person with a wheelchair access uses that sidewalk, is he going to go on to a road, or is he, what is he going to do?
Okay, thank you. Councillor Eady?
So Amber Trails right now is full of a lot of young families, and there are certain streets that don't have sidewalks. And I know I've walked through on a number of streets without sidewalks in Amber Trails. Have you considered your perspective on this, given that community will get much older, and what needs the pedestrians who live, say, on Basel might have?
Yeah.
Well into the, like, we're talking about building a neighborhood here that's going to be around for a lot of years. So have you considered what the far future might hold for that kind of
thing? Definitely, because it does have 55 plus. I mean, these are for seniors too, some of the apartments that they are proposing. But our concern is with regard to security. As I'm saying, right now, even now, we have people parking on Alonzo overnight. And we don't know whose vehicles those are or to whom it belongs. And if this condo development comes, we are sure that Alonzo will be full of vehicles, parked vehicles. And people will be using this sidewalk to access their condos.
Right.
So it becomes more of a security issue too.
It's informed, and I just wanted to engage you one more time, and Mr. Agpelza. On Lila, there's a sidewalk there right now, right?
Yes, there
okay.
is.
And what's being proposed here on this development is that on Alonza, southbound,
there's going to
be a sidewalk. So, yes, it won't go on to Basel, but there will be a sidewalk. So, can you just go back and help me understand why you wouldn't be in favor of one?
Well, the sidewalk that they are proposing connects Amber Trails with Lila. If I'm not wrong.
Because you were mentioning to me earlier that there's a sidewalk that goes to nowhere, but this sidewalk, in fact, as part of the development, is going to...
No. Nowhere means I'm talking on Basel.
That's correct.
Because the idea behind keeping the sidewalk is so that it opens onto Basel.
Yeah.
And if it opens onto Basel, and if you don't have a sidewalk on Basel, where is it going to go? Definitely. I mean, people can use the sidewalk, and right now, even though there is no sidewalk, we do go along Alonzo, go to Amber Trails, and then go to the school.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, our main concern is parking. Once this sidewalk is opened up, we don't want people parking right in front of our drive yard and then going into those condos. And we, as I'm saying, right now we face a lot of problems with parking. We don't know who's parking because we have a lot of space on Alonzo. And people just park their cars, even trucks sometimes. That's, yeah, so people who are living there know what's happening. So, and once this condo comes, I don't think it will ease. It might actually amplify the problem of parking on Alonzo.
Okay. That is a public street, so people can park.
They can, but as
if they're blocking your driveway, that's a different issue. But if,
definitely. This yeah. might, because once we have a sidewalk there, the east-west sidewalk, our driveway is actually maybe just 10 meters away from the sidewalk.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much, both of you, for your delegation.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Now I'm going to call those. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to this application that I haven't had a chance to call? Okay. Anyone here for information? Okay. Seeing none, I'll call the applicant back, Mr. Paliubeski, Mr. Mayor.
Just one point. We spent an awful lot of effort and time to engage the community in terms of this project. And you could see by the support that the community has that we've tried to listen and we've tried to amend the project to reflect their needs. I think maybe if I could be permitted to just explain one thing. Basil Street has 10 houses on either side, approximately, 20 houses. Basil Street is a dead-end street. It goes from Alonzo and it goes to the city, what would be hopefully a future city park. Currently, you have the pedestrian access is on Amber Trail and will be extended along Lilo Avenue to that park. I think what the residents are saying, this makes sense from the point of view of connectivity internally if we maintain those access on Amber Trail and Lila, because the kids go along the sidewalk on Amber Trail to the school. And maybe some of the kids in the future when the sidewalk is extended and connected to the area, they'll continue on Lila Avenue. But the sidewalk ends at our site right now. So I think all that the residents are saying that have expressed a concern about the sidewalk is we're a short street, there's no sidewalks on our street. And from the other side, from my perspective as a planner, if you've got a park and you've got that a window of the park on Amber Trail, which is interconnected to the entire community, because it runs right through the community on Lila Avenue, it seems to me to make sense that your main accesses to the park will be from the south to the south on Lila Avenue to the north to Amber Trail, and that's where your connectivity is going to be. The residents on Basil Street are just saying, we're just a little street, we want to stay that way, and we want the main access to occur at the planned locations. So other than that and our comment earlier that from the perspective of the developer, we will either agree to an area charge with respect to pipeline and Lila Avenue street works, or we have indicated to GenStar we would agree to pay our frontage fee for Lila Avenue and delete Clause 14. My clients are very accommodating, and we would just, you know, whatever makes sense from the city's perspective, we would be prepared to do.
Okay, Mr. Paliubeski, thank you. Councillor Sharma?
Mr. Paliubeski, north-south path on the east of the property.
I'm sorry?
The north-south path on the east of the property.
Yes.
Would you folks be paying for that, or the portion parallel to your development, or do you see it coming out of land dedication funds?
Well, we would be, the agreement right now is that we would be paying for that pathway, but it would come out of the land dedication contribution we'd be making. And the reason for that is that the city has the obligation for building pathways in Amber Trails. GenStar provides the open space, GenStar provides the sodded areas, and we've agreed that we'll, as part of the dedication, that we'll build the pathway to the city standards. But it will be credited against the cash dedication that we would be paying to the city.
Okay. The units that are to the left of Block 3 on this map here, sir?
Yes.
Where is the parking for those units?
Each unit will have two parking spaces, and then there's parking spaces, additional visitor parking spaces. So each unit will have...
In front of their unit?
In front of the unit, there will be a parking space. Each unit is a single-car garage. Again, we're looking at marketing it to a particular, not to families, but to empty nesters.
And to the west of the development, the west side, do you have a wrought iron fence there?
To the west side of the development, we have a wrought iron fence. That's what we're proposing. Okay. We're proposing the wrought iron fence with masonry posts along Lila Avenue. We're proposing to put a solid wood, cedar tone, 6-foot ornamental fence between the single family lots on the north and the bungalow condos on the south. On the east side of the site, we're proposing to put a epoxy coated black chain link fence, which is the same kind of fencing that Genstar has placed within the single family lots that are existing there. And the reason for that, we want to stay consistent with what has been done, and the black epoxy-coated chain link fence basically makes the chain link almost invisible and still has the view of the sports field and the play area and the pathways.
Right.
And we didn't want to block that view.
And just so I understand this correctly, you have an opening on the west side of your development as well as the east, small opening, but there's no path. It's just an opportunity to...
We will be constructing internally pathways, but they won't be public.
Okay.
And I guess as long as the corporation feels that the public is behaving reasonably, there won't be a problem. But if it is, then we have a problem of security and control.
Right. Otherwise, you could, I guess, close it off completely
with
the wrought iron fence on both sides, and then folks would just have to come out the main.
Yes.
And they would probably be happy with that if there are problems, right? Because they live there?
I guess we're just trying to leave it to the residents there to make the decision in terms of what works for them. Recognizing the residents have some concerns right now, we expect residents internally may see if everything's fine, it will function well. But if there's problems, at least they have the ability to change things themselves.
Right.
Mr. Pelibeski, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Any questions of our administration? Councilor Sharma? I just have a question for Mr. Kim Raven regarding the delegation for Mr. Klein, and just looking for some commentary regarding area charge versus frontage charge, and what's our standard on that, and some of the implications of the proposal.
Well, Councillor, since 1988, Amber Trails inception, I guess their first agreement, the area bounded by Pipeline, Lila, and the future Chief Peguis Trail has been identified as an area subject to an area charge for improvements in Lila and Pipeline, including channelization, intersection improvements, street lighting, sidewalks, boulevards, all that stuff, and traffic signals. We've consistently applied that, as Mr. Klein alluded to, throughout the course of development applications, the major number of which have been done by Genstar themselves, but there have been others. I do have an application. I grabbed one as an example, right on the corner of Pipeline Road and Lila, within the planned area, where we have collected the area charges. And it's fronting on Lila, fronting on Pipeline Road. Another comment, I somewhat fail to see the relevance of Mr. Klein's presentation, because it's not automatic that the money we collect from this developer is exactly what will be reimbursed to Mr. Klein. We have development agreements with Mr. Klein. This one in particular that is in and around and adjacent to the subject property is Development Agreement AG 3488. Goes back to 1988 when this whole thing began. And in that agreement, the developer is committed to construct improvements both in Lila Pipeline, etc. And then there's a clause that says, if you'll permit me, the developer's share of the cost of improvements as determined in A above shall be offset against the cost of services to be constructed pursuant to B and C above, and the city shall reimburse the developer for the difference as certified by the Commissioner of Works and Operations with interest as it collects from the benefiting lands in accordance with the city's development agreement parameters prevailing at the time of reimbursement. So that is our instruction for paying back GenStar. As I say, this is not GenStar's application. I don't see that it's relevant that they're, using this as an opportunity to try to affect something. If they want to change the way they get reimbursed, they have to make an application to amend their agreement.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Raven.
May I ask?
Councilor Eady.
I have an immense knowledge about the past with this. On the history of LELA, even prior to 1988, there were some housing was developed. There's side-by-side housing on the south side of LELA that was built and developed, and I think that those developers never put money into the costs of developing LELA as it progressed further west. And I think at some point subsequent to 1988, there were costs incurred related to extending LELA out, which GenStar should not have had to picked up the costs, I believe, in developing further. And I think he's referring to that when he makes his presentation. And that's actually, that development happened before they came into Amber Trails. So I don't think he's referring to the costs associated with Amber Trails itself growing, which is on the north side of LELA. I think that's what he's referring to. Would that be correct?
Yes, I understand. So
isn't that a different cost, though, associated than normal practice throughout the city? I don't think that ever occurred anywhere else in the city.
Oh, no, there are area charges applicable to other areas, but from a fairness perspective, I guess this is a unique situation as you describe, and all I can say is the first agreement that came through, and I wasn't there in 1988, I believe would have mutually addressed that between the city and the developer. I know Mr. Klein in his presentation made reference to the community committee of the day, making decisions and council making decisions. I would submit that the developer was at the table too and was part of those decisions as well. So all we can do is take what we have and move forward.
Okay. We're going to take a 5-minute recess, and we'll reconvene here at 6:25. And so we're adjourned until 6:25.